Let us hear now the word of the Lord from Psalm chapter 124, page 517 in our Pew Bibles, or if you have your digital copy or other personal copy, be sure to have that out. These are not the mere words of a man, but these are the words of Almighty God given over 2,000 years ago and intended for us this morning at Grace Church here in Lake Susie. A song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. And when their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This is the word of Almighty God. You may be seated. Thanks be to God. Well, as we open the Psalms together, I don't know if you realized it, but it's the prayer book. Sometimes we refer to it as the first hymnal. The Psalter, the Psalms, were what the children of Israel sang together before we had hymnals. But it's also their prayers. These are prayers of God's people longing to obey His word. These are prayers of God's people who are awaiting the kingdom coming in its fullness, where it will make all things new. We're stuck in between the first coming of Christ and longing for the second coming of our King to finish what He started. And so, I don't know if you came desperate for prayer or desiring to obey God's word this morning, or even dreaming of that renewal of the kingdom that He's promised to bring. But I'm going to ask you to lean in if you have any of those longings at all. Lean into them, that your King, that the one who calls Himself the King of Kings, would in fact make all that's wrong in this world to be made right. That racism, that injustice, that broken relationships or betrayal, separation of loved ones, cancer, death, disaster would be no more. That is holy longings. Can you think of a time in your life that you needed help? Some of us are incredibly good at asking for help, and some of us stink at it. I don't know which category you find yourself in this morning, but we can learn a lot from kids. Maybe you were a youngster learning to ride a bike, and you needed help having someone hold that seat up so you could learn to pedal. Help. Maybe you needed help planning a party because you just weren't great at administration, but you loved having people hang out. Help. What about those of us that aren't always so good at math in school? Can you remember asking for help? Man, I get algebra, but this geometry, what's up with that? Maybe you say that about all math in general, and that's okay too. Maybe it was when you got really sick and you needed a friend to take you to the doctor. I mean, really, the ER doesn't have parking that you can just go get valet parking for. You need someone when you're really sick to take you in. Maybe you needed help. Maybe you can think of a time that you had a great loss in your life and you had a family member or a friend or maybe even a job that just you thought would always be there and it wasn't. Help. Maybe you realized at times in your journey, maybe this is you today, that you're just stuck. You're stuck in addiction or in crisis or in emergency and you need someone else to come and assist. Who or what did you turn to when you had moments needing help? And how did that or is that working for you? That's some of the questions that we come to the text with this morning. It's in life's hardships that we recognize most keenly our need for prayer and the help that God has promised to give us, but one which, if we're honest this morning with the Word of God as we come to it, we're not always ready to receive God's help, though He is free to give it. And so our help, as verse 8 has said of our text, this is kind of our linchpin, our foundation for this whole time together. Our help really is Family of Grace Church. Our help really is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's not a distant and far off, absent parent. He's not someone who gave us the goods and left us to run it. He is the one who is right here in the mess with us now. So, as we are together, we're going to organize our time together around three simple points. We're going to ponder something called the what if. Ponder the things that didn't happen. Then we're going to praise things that did happen, things that are. Ponder the what if, praise what is, and we're going to look ahead and start thinking about proclaiming what will be. A little bit of past, present, and future that are there. And Jesus Christ is an amazing rescuer, friends. He is one who stays with us through the mess and in the journey, and He's here for when everyone else has thrown in the towel. So we're going to lean into Him together this morning, believing that He's not far off, but He's near to those who call for help. Psalm 124, we're in the middle of the book of Psalms. There's subsections, maybe you know this, and if you don't, it's okay. In the book of Psalms, the way that the Holy Spirit has brought it together in the collection, the hymn book, the prayer book we have in our Bibles, is that it's intentionally arranged. These are not random arrangements. If you look at the beginning of the Psalms, it starts with God is our King, and we are to be fruitful and rooted in Him and grow. He's like a tree planted by streams of living water. This is the way that life is to happen, planted in the Word of God and fruitful and abounding throughout all our days. And in the end, we see the praise of God as that is becoming more and more true in our life and in our cosmos and His universe. And along the way, you've got different stages. This section that we're in right now is what's called the Psalms of Ascent. These are 15 Psalms from 120 to 134 that are specifically meant for singing together during one of the Jewish pilgrimages to Jerusalem. They're feast days. They would go three times a year to the holy city, and it was a feast. Maybe you've heard of the Feast of Passover. Maybe you've heard of the Feast of First Fruits after harvest, when you celebrate, we have food, praise the Father. Let's give Him the first bit off the plants and say thank you for everything else that's coming. And maybe you've heard of Feast of Booths or Feast of Tabernacles. Well, they went these three times to Jerusalem, literally, as families. And so these were songs in this part of the songbook that were not just to pass the time, but they were made to give you perspective on the journey. And so you're singing yourself through difficult parts of the path, literally. These are some of the most harrowing, treacherous journeys that you'd take as a pilgrim to Jerusalem. It's actually elevated above the rest of the area. It's a winding, twisting, and difficult path. There are known to be robbers camped out along the way, and they are there to take your goods. You're going to bring part of your first fruits or part of your sacrifices to the Lord to say, thank you, and cover the sins of my family, and here's a thank offering, and here's the first fruits of our offerings, and let's celebrate our God. And yet, there's robbers along the path while you're going to go bring your goods to God that want to snatch it from you before you get there. So it's a dangerous journey, and they would have to sing themselves and stir their fellow singers up into remember perspective when it got hard. Lift your voice in song. And so we're going to do that. We're going to ponder the what if. It's thinking about the almosts. Assemble them. Put them in a line. Think about what could have happened in your life. What almost happened? What should have happened? What external physical trouble? Maybe you remember a near-death experience. Maybe you had an unexplainable coincidence. A last-minute itinerary change, a doctor's appointment that unveiled a critical health concern. Maybe you turn your attention to think of it in more of an internal rescue that you may not have shared with others. It may not have been seen, but internal spiritual trouble is still an almost. What if you got what you deserved? What if you were hopelessly forever paralyzed by shame? And maybe you still are. What if trauma were to leave us so wounded and beyond hope that we would be forced to spend all of the days of our life to either numb or avoid? What if? What if those experiences that we had not, maybe we didn't know freedom existed? What if that we'd been stuck there and stayed there in our souls forever? What if there was no hope for rescue? Maybe some of us have forgotten that there is hope for rescue. If it had not been the Lord, this psalmist brings us back to our present caretaker, our places of need. What if they are meant to be places of our greatest praise? Our greatest praise could come through our neediness, our almost. What if they weren't accidental? But what if they were part of a sovereign plan of God and a purpose of His goodness and His love for us? Has your almost, your what if already happened? Maybe someone you loved was taken far too young. Maybe a war or an accident happened. Maybe there was a processing of pain and loss that happened, and you just can't even come to God and name that because you're so mad at Him even to this day. Well, I just want to lean your heart into the possibility that maybe in a big picture way, God, who is our King of Kings and who at this very moment is holding all the cosmos together, the world, by the word of His power. Every atom is held together to the other particles of this universe. If He's got a way that's that big and caretaking, what if He cares enough and so much about the details that we fret over that we say, how can that possibly be a part of your story? How can you possibly be good in that? And what if He's leading us and loving us and being good to us even through those hardest places? And what if, friends, it was so much worse? What if every sinner had to pay the penalty for every sin they've ever done wrong? The thoughts, the actions, the inactions, the ones that you are caught for and the ones that nobody ever knew about, the ones that you haven't even committed yet but will before the day is out. Like, what if every sinner everywhere had to pay that penalty for their own sin and there was no way to have rescue, but you were going to be eternally separated from God without hope, literally? No lifeline, no friend, no rescuer. And then think about Jesus in the garden. Think about when all of the purpose for which He'd come into this world and entered the mess, and while we were still sinners, He was going to die for us. But what if He's in the garden praying and He says, you know what? God, I can pray and I can rescue and I can die for everyone, but not that one. I can't take that one with me. There's just no way I would give myself for that one. What if one of God's children were lost? What if God's affection really was as fickle as ours? What if? Deep breath. He has not given up on us, friends. And what if, but God? God is our sustainer. We have, the psalmist says, an ever-present helper. The Lord is on our side. Whether we see it or not, whether we know it or feel it or experience it, we have a powerful and gracious hand of a Creator right now sustaining us, holding us together, literally by His power. The one who spoke everything into being is right now sustaining it and keeping it together. And so King David comes and invites us on a journey. He says, what if we consider our what ifs, though, that they would be leaning us into a longing for something more? That we would say, I am so helpless and a mess and all these bad things that I can dream of and think of and imagine, they didn't happen because what if we recognized that we do have a rescuer? Verses 2-5. Someone who stands for us. if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. You notice the text how there's this back and forth going. Let Israel now say, verse 1, and then verse 2. They respond and they say it. It's almost a call and response along the path. You're going to do that when you're going through hard, treacherous journeys on way to your eternal pilgrimage and your heavenly home. You're going to need to call out and remind each other of what's true. I wonder if we could try that, Grace Church. I'll try saying the first part, and you can respond with the same thing. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Grace Church now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us. When people rose up against us, verse 2. And if you came to church this morning thinking about how you got enemies, some of us don't know that. Physical, spiritual enemies, people that really would want to have it in for us. It's true. We could imagine that sometimes, but we don't see the half of it. There really are people that would want to, given the chance, they would want to come up against us and stop at nothing to snuff us out. You think of times in Scripture that you see that. We read one, David and Saul. He's literally throwing javelins at the guy, trying to snuff his life out. He represented something that took away from his own glory. This David guy is stealing my thunder. I got to pin him to the wall. He can't do that to me. Think of the Philistines and Goliath. Think of even David's son later, Absalom, trying to steal his father's throne. I mean, this was a man that is not just in theory saying, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us. He lived it, he walked it, and he asks us to lean in to our King. Why would people come up against God's people? It might be because they're sometimes judgmental, if we're honest. People might not like you and I, not for good reasons, but because we're actually heavy-handed and shaming others instead of caring for them and loving them. And it's unfortunate that that's real, but if we're honest, it's there sometimes. I've been guilty of that. Showing too much the judgment of God and not enough of His love. Sometimes we maybe have light in others exposing us. I got to snuff that out. They're making me look bad here. Maybe it's because some people are doing something that matters eternally and evil doesn't want to give up ground. Evil doesn't want to let their territory go. And so they attack when God's people are on the move. Maybe it's because in this world, Jesus has promised, in this world you'll have trouble. Take heart, though, He said, I am overcome the world. Then I think it's helpful to think about why people might not come up against God's people. Maybe some of us, some people are not really a threat to evil. Maybe they don't have to do that much work to get them distracted and numb and sidelining their job in the kingdom. And they don't have to work very hard to really get that purposeless or self-absorbed, distracted, or unthreatening person away. So it's helpful to think about what kinds of people would evil rise up against. And then let's look at verse 3. These things are meant to point us into three specific images. So he says, if it had not been the Lord when people rose up against us, then, verse 3, we would have been swallowed alive. They would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. So the picture is, anyone seen, maybe I'm predating myself here, but anyone seen the movie The Sandlot? Yeah. A big dog on the other side of the fence. The kids are scared out of their minds. Like, we can't get our ball that went over the fence. The beast is there. That's kind of what it is. It's like, only this is not just an imagination that he'll tear us up. It's like there's a ferocious beast. His anger is kindled. He just needs to take a bite or just a little swallow you alive moment, and you'll be his prey. That's what it would be like if the Lord had not been on the side of his people. It would literally be someone would be swallowed alive. Then verse 4, he says, here's the second image. It would be as if we'd be swept away. Verse 4, the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us. So in the ancient Near Eastern cosmos, the view of the world, the waters were literally held back at bay from the heavens and from under the earth. And so when the flood happens, the dumping is not just a coming from the thunderstorms from above, but it's the welling up of the waters from the deep that covered the earth with water. And so here we have the chaos of untamable flood waters rising to sweep you away. If the Creator were not to harness that, that for the good, the creation would undo and chaos would ensue. We'd be swept away. We could not get over the waters that come up from the deeps of the earth. It would be as if the Lord had not been on our side, our third image, we would have been gone over, verse 5. Then the torrent would have gone over us, the end of 4. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Think of a flash flood when the waters come so fast and so torrential in the downpour, the dumping of a cloud, we call the cloud dumps because they literally are dumping out of the clouds, just the water, you can't get away from it. It's so fast, there's no way the earth can absorb that much and you're drowned. If it had not been the Lord, you would have been attacked by beasts and eaten alive. You would have been overwhelmed and drowned from below. You would have been dumped on and swept away and killed from above. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, animals, floods, and torrents would have done us in. He says, but verses 6 to 7. The word's not there if you're wondering where it is, but there's a but there that we can praise God for what is. We've thought a lot about, maybe you've began to think about the things that what could have been, but this is the leading us to the things that are. It's pointing us to praise and lift our eyes to the one who is in charge. The one who says, I am the maker of the mountains. I am God with us. I am a present protector. What are you doing, God, in all this what if? Things that could have happened in our lives. Are you really doing good things through that? There's a praising of the protector that happens when you start to recognize that your daddy's not aloof, but he's actually involved. He's not checked out, but he's intimately engaged. There's a book that anybody ever moved? Ever? Hopefully you guys all have your internal hands going up. Anybody ever found things you didn't know you had in a move? Or lost things that you thought for sure you had? We've done a few moves recently. So we were doing this, I think, a move or two ago. I can't remember which one now. But we stumbled upon a book that I'd forgotten we had. It's called Selected to Live. A Holocaust survivor, it tells the story of, who came to know the Lord in the most unexpected way. In the very house that she was hiding from, the Germans that were coming to take her away, she comes to know Jesus. So who would have thought that in her what if, the terribleness of the Holocaust, that would be the very thing God would say, I'm going to connect you to something far greater of a family and far greater of a hope and a home than you ever knew to dream of. I'm going to connect you to myself. But it comes through the worst thing you could imagine, even greater than you dreamed of as possible. And so what if is supposed to lean us in to bless the Lord, as David says, verse 6. He's thankful. He's praising God's honor in his name because he is rescued and he's a protector. He says in verse 6, bless the Lord. Why would we bless him? Why would we praise him? Why would we say he is great in the midst of all that's terrible or could have been? It's because he's not given us in as prey to their teeth. David, think of him, shepherd boy David, on the flocks with his he's the one that's the young rut, the young whippersnapper that all the brothers thought was worthless, and God had a plan. He's out there singing and making music and writing songs and tending the sheep, and he's God says that's how he was going to train him after his heart. And he thought he was abandoned in the what if only I had a place in my family and I'm cast off and I'm cast aside. But that was the thing God used to shape the Psalter and the writing of some of the best of our music and the longings of our soul and poetry. And what if he hadn't been through those days tending sheep? who would David have become? Would he have been ready to be the man that would lead Israel fearlessly to follow the Lord? And he was full of wounds and brokenness and sin. But you think about him in the fields. Like he's got helpless sheep. He's got hungry lions, wild dogs. He knows that God's children have escaped the same way, very really, as they have had a helper come to tear the beasts apart and protect the sheep. That's how you and I have been. When we are loved with an everlasting love of our Father. He has been taking the enemies we didn't even know were there, and he has been holding them at bay from ripping us to shreds. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So whatever a child of God, friends, experiences, it cannot be the absence of a present and a permission of our Father. He's holding us. His grip cannot be undone. Not one of his sheep will be lost. Our Father is strong. And it's more than just a natural danger. Think about Satan, remember in Scripture? He's compared to what? A roaring lion. Roaring lion, looking a helpless lamb up that he would find the isolated and alone and injured and lame lamb, and he would tear him to bits. Even Satan would desire to do that, yet there is nothing even Satan or all his hosts of minions of evil can do to snatch even one of God's children from his sure hand of grip. Our shepherd is good, and his name is Jesus. And so David knew these images well, but we know, friends, that Jesus knew these images far better. Think about his words in John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. John 10, 27 to 29. We have escaped, verse 7, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. There's a past and a perfect verb here with ongoing results. We have escaped something that took place, but the effects are still being felt today, and they will still be felt tomorrow. We have been set free from the trap of the deceiver, and we still are free. I don't know if any of you guys are bird catchers. Anybody do that for a hobby? Put up your hands if you're a bird fowler this morning. I've never met one yet. I keep looking. This is not an image that we use every day, but in this way, there's so much going on. The thief, Scripture says, comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they might have life and life abundantly. And Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Think, this is the image, okay? A fowler was said to set a trap that was so certain it would catch the bird that it was like one in a million chance they would get not the bird. It was so certain that you would be caught by the fowler. This is, the enemy's grip is far too certain. You're going to get snagged. There's no way you won't be. And guess what he says? He says the snare is broken, friends, and we have escaped. Hallelujah, the one in a million happened. Jesus' love was greater than the fowler's trap. Hallelujah. If you know Jesus, there is a restful Redeemer who you can bless. Bless the Lord, he says. Bless the Lord who has not given us as prey into his teeth. So we can thank him for his rescue. When you know that you were deserving and certainly caught in the trap and you got free, you're going to have a freedom to your thankfulness. You're going to know, I should be here, but I am here. Hallelujah. There's no way I could have gotten out of here, and Jesus put me here. Praise him. Do you have that kind of overwhelming sense of thankfulness? Those who have been rescued should be the loudest declarers of their rescuer, friends. Those who know the trap's deception and the trap's helplessness should be the ones who go to help those stuck the most. we have escaped. Why shouldn't we be the loudest pilgrims heading to our Father's house and asking others to join us? Why shouldn't we be the most tender of warriors going into the places of stuckness of the people around us and coming and begging them, come and be free. You don't have to stay in your chains, friends. Let me tell you about what God's done in my heart. This is where David says it's a call and response as you're going to your heavenly home. There's celebration and there's rejoicing, but it's not just for the cantor. It's not just for the worship leader. It's for all of Israel. Let Israel now say, let Grace Church now say, the snare has been broken and we are free, family of God. If your judge has set you free, and if he's your daddy, and you can't fear him at all because he loves you and you know he loves you, what can man do unto you, friends? What could the person we're afraid of sharing Jesus with really do to us if we're loved with an everlasting, unbreakable, always and forever love of the Father? See, not a hair can fall from our head without our Father's plan and goodness. He's not going to let us be helpless and waste our pain. He's going to redeem it. So he says in Romans 8, if God is for us, Paul says, who can stand against us? All the things we could dream of, he lists next. He says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, literally trouble. Distress, things that are full of stress. Persecution, things that pierce through and hurt and try to pressure you. Famine, things that make you long for food. Nakedness, you don't have what you need to cover your shame. Danger, you're going to be snuffed out because you're helpless and there's no way you can get out. A sword that can get you all the way to the marrow. No, Paul says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then he's going to remind us there's not just a confidence for today. He says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. See, those who have pondered the what if and praised the what is are the biggest heralds and celebrators of what will come and what is not yet. We proclaim what is not here yet. Where will you look when you need help? Where will your friends look when they need help? Where will those who meet what Jesus says in this world, you will have trouble turn if they don't have the one who is the only rescue and helper they can imagine or dream of, better than they had dreamed of. Where will they go if they don't take heart like we have to know that we have one who's overcome the world? Where will they go, friends? Because the dangers that never happened to us, some of which we knew, and if we're honest, a whole bunch that we never knew of, we can praise our helper for rescuing us when we didn't even think we needed rescue. And then we can thank the Lord because of the dangers that were real and he did save us from, that we saw, and we can say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We can look ahead and we can say what is true now will continue because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our help will still be tomorrow in the name of the Lord. His name is a strong tower the righteous can run into for rescue. And he'll protect them. What if our earthly houses were to be song temples? What if they were to be rooms, auditoriums, and places that we would sing each other through the hardest moments in our living rooms, in our cars, on our knees? What if you recognized another arm around you at your hardest place And sometimes it was a family of God member, and sometimes it was just Jesus. What if he was singing you through when you didn't even know how to sing yourself? What if, friends, is Almighty God on your side this morning? Because if you have him, you have everything. And if you don't have him this morning, you have no hope of getting from that trap, one in a million, that you would make it out of. You're stuck and there's no way you're going out. But what if today? What if today you would hear God anew and you would lean in? Is Almighty God on my side? I'm not so sure. Am I on God's side? How can I know? Well, Scripture tells us. He says that we are by nature, we're separated from God. We're born in our sin. And yet, God sent Jesus, a helper, to rescue us and provide that way across to eternal life, because he lived that life we couldn't live, but we were meant to. But our sin got in the way, and he was holy when we were bad and unrighteous and wicked and selfish. And Jesus paid the penalty that we deserved for death. He died the death that we deserved to die because we were unrighteous and not like God, and not holy and pure and good. And what if he didn't just stay dead, but his death was one that was arising to new life, that everyone who names the name of Christ and is united to him by faith, what if they rise from the dead and reign with the Father forever? Why does this even matter, Pastor Chris? Because God's past, present, and future protection is ours in Jesus. If you don't have him, you got nothing. If you got him, you got everything. And this is why it matters, because we're on the way to our eternal home, friends. This week, we're going to need to sing each other through. We're going to need to remember Jesus is singing us through. We can sing together corporately, because they were never meant to sing the songs of thanksgiving alone. We can sing confidently because we've been given a voice. And our voice, no matter how we think it sounds, is beautiful to our Father. We can sing boldly because we've been chosen in more love than we can imagine. And we can sing securely because there's no one who can take our voice from us, though outwardly and bodily it may die. No one can snatch us from the Father's love. Friends, Jesus Christ saves sinners. One in a million has happened, if you know Jesus. We have the perfect life that we were meant to live, the sin-cursed death that we were meant to die, and the eternal life and conquering of everything we've faced. All the hard things, all the bad things, all the things we wish were untrue, God has taken care of once for all. And we have hope, friends. How are you going to use that good news? Are you going to lean into it when the what-ifs don't make sense? And when the present's trap seems so snaring and enslaving? Are you going to look to them when you can't imagine that he could possibly be good in this tomorrow, what you're facing today? Are you going to find how you made it over? Because you bear the name, friends, of a very strong rescuer if you know Jesus. Look to him to be true to his name, because the Scripture tells us, I may deny the truth, you may deny the truth, but our Father is faithful because he cannot deny himself. Let's give him the praise. Our Father, we thank you as those who see but a small portion of the what-ifs that you have gotten us out. The fact that we are all assembled in this room is nothing short of a miracle. The people that, the accidents we could have had even getting here, the moments in our life we shouldn't have made it, the incountable ways that we should not be here right now. You have done it. You've brought us together. And you didn't just do it for a momentary time in your house, but you offer us an eternal holiday at the seashore with you forever. And we just get in our little sandbox in the backyard, Father. Oh God, would you wake us up? Would you remind us of everything you're doing? And would we sing one another through the hardest parts of the days? Thank you, Jesus, when we can't sing. that you still sing over your church. And we want to be the people who share your song with others. So make us a joyful singing, an honest singing, but a joyful and constantly singing church. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray.